Larry Haber, a reformed yet long-recovered developer, as well as an attorney, CPA, and the creator of Leasing Reality, conducts an ongoing series of weekly conversations with real estate and other business rock stars designed to empower aspiring, emerging, and seasoned professionals and business owners to reach their full business potential.
Today's guest is the Vince Lombardi, Bill Belichick, and John Wooden of Commercial Real Estate Coaching. Yes, that's right, my friends. The author of Brokers Who Dominate, 8 Traits of Top Producers. The man who has subconsciously channeled Christopher Columbus, given his talent to help commercial brokers stop the drift as he and his team helps them find a new world by creating a plan and a purpose to secure and make a difference for their clients. Yes, it's none other than the founder of the Massimo Group, namely Rod Santamassimo. Rod, thanks for joining us today. Our listeners are in for a treat as we discuss your thoughts on the rising and not so rising tide of real estate, life, and lastly, some of your coaching mantras which have helped thousands of brokers transform their personal commercial real estate business.
Larry, thank you so much for having me. I'm truly honored to be on this podcast with you. I won't share how we first met. It was a little joke earlier. I think it was by a pool in Vegas at one time. But this really is, I'm looking forward to this, and I'm looking forward to our discussion.
So, Rod, let's get right into it. Our fourth son, Connor, a truly happy boy who happens to have autism, has essentially built a fairly incredible Lego museum in our basement. So with that said, what do you like to build or create for both yourself and for your clients, for that matter?
Well, first of all, like Connor, I like Legos. I have to admit, I like Legos. I have a 16-year-old son, Nicholas, who had a great collection of Legos, and we have kept them. And Legos are replicas of something else, whether it be the Batmobile at a smaller scale or the Jedi or Knight or whatever it might be. So when we look at that, we build businesses. So from a building standpoint, we're not building an organization. We're not building an institution. I'm not building GM. I'm taking an individual and we're building their business.
That's unbelievable. And that's the passion.
That's the passion.
Yeah, when you're passionate about something, it makes a very big difference. So Mike Meyer is known for his long run on Saturday Night Live, roles in Wayne's World, Austin Powers, and Shrek, once said, "If I went by all the rejection I've had in my career, I should have given up a long time ago." So how do you handle rejection from a client or prospective customer perspective? And while you're at it, how do you best advise brokers that you coach to deal with rejection, really as a means of helping them grow?
Absolutely. I know everyone says this, and you cannot grow unless you fail. You must fail. And when we have folks that are saying they had a great week, or whether it be my kids or my clients who are telling us that everything's going great, we say, well, maybe you're not doing enough. Maybe you're not taking the right courses. Maybe you're not pushing out. You're not making enough calls. You're not doing the right pitches. So I believe you should fail, and fail consistently, because that's how you're going to grow.
Well, what's the stat on brokers making cold calls when early in their career? Is it 95? You're supposed to get 95 hang-ups, basically out of 100. If you get 3 or 4 people to actually talk to you.
That's absolutely correct. That's
which means you've suffered a lot of rejection, basically.
A lot of rejection. But you have to know that. And there's tricks to that. I've met a client who has 2 glasses of marbles, and he takes 1 marble to the next every call he makes, knowing he's going to take all the marbles to fill up before he gets a contact. It's the game. It's a numbers game.
Really? It sounds like therapy as well. So how do you channel the essence of Winston Wolfe, who was played brilliantly by Harvey Keitel in that classic movie Pulp Fiction, and namely that of his classic line, "I solve problems"?
Well, he solves problems in a much more direct way than we solve
this
problems.
Is true. But it's the mantra that you have to have.
It's the mantra you must have. And every day we go out and we assess our clients both on a personality basis, and not that there's problems, but there are weaknesses and strengths, as well as a business assessment where the holes and gaps are. So, beyond solving problems, we align the strengths, we work towards the strengths, and we leverage out resources to redress those shortcomings, if we put it that way, from a problem perspective. But we're not doing it as direct as Harvey is.
But I mean, is part of when you're doing it, because it's obviously everyone has their strengths and weaknesses. How difficult is it to teach people to be part of the solution and not part of the problem.
Well, that's where personality comes into place. There's no doubt about it. There are clients we will say, look, it's not going to work. It's simply not going to work. You need to be optimistic. You need to have a vision. You need to be able to see there's always another way. There's always another way on everything in life. So yeah.
There's no doubt. Listen, I look at the glasses being three quarters full. I like to say I wear rose-colored glasses, but they're tainted with a little something called reality. You know, and as long as you have that outlook, it makes things a lot easier. Yeah, there's no question about it.
My daughter consistently says to me, Dad, you're just too positive. And I said, when you stop telling me that, I got a problem. Yeah, it's just the way
exactly. I hear you. So, Honest Abe Lincoln, he liked to say it, you know, at a point in place and time in his life, whatever you are, be a good one. I do the very best I know how, the very best I can, and I mean to do so to the very end. And whether or not, you know, hip-hop artist Snoop Dogg, you know, knew he was channeling Abe when he said, even if it's flipping hamburgers at McDonald's, be the best hamburger flipper there is in the world, master your craft, they were on the same page as one another. So when it comes to staying on top of one's, you know, game or building, you know, an A game to even begin with in the world of real estate, how do you and your team continue to help, you know, your clients master their craft?
Well, the good news is that if folks elect to get coached, there's a couple things going on. Number one, regardless if they're new to the business or they're the most seasoned veterans, we, as you know, Larry, we have some of New York's top brokers as our clients. And we have folks in Lubbock, Texas that are just starting out as our clients. But they've made the election to do better, to grow, regardless of where they are in success or tenure. I would say this, that those professionals who elect to do commercial real estate, leasing, sales, capital markets, whatever it might be, they then decided at that point in time in their lives that that's the industry they're going to focus on, that their child's future, their spouse, their financial well-being is all based on achieving and succeeding and doing the best they can in commercial real estate. And unfortunately, I believe a lot of folks in commercial real estate don't realize it. They say, oh, I can make a lot of money, but they're not willing to go out and truly be the best they can be. Now, if you're not motivated, I can't make you motivated.
No,
I can't
exactly.
Motivate you. You have to be motivated.
No, you have to be. You want to be coachable. And the fact that, you know, that your clients know that it's like, you know, listen, I take great pride in knowing that I'm a can of too short of a full six pack, but that makes me somewhat of a genius. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know I need to learn every day. And it's, you know, as experienced as you and I may be, we're always learning. So the fact that, you know, they want to learn is important. And, you know, what always puzzles me when I, you know, when I speak to some brokers, I always sit there and say, if I'm telling you that not everyone has that goal line mentality, nothing against those who don't, but it's like, you should be looking at it that is, if I do, I'm going to excel.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's no question about that. So Jim Valvano, another great coach, in his classic speech at the first ESPY Awards, which I was so fortunate to have attended, it was not long before he died from cancer, and he asked the audience, it was a rhetorical question, but how do you go from where you are to where you want to be? And then he answered his own question by saying, I think you have to have an enthusiasm for life. You have to have a dream, a goal, and you have to be willing to work for it. So, you know, how do Jim's words play into how you coach your clients?
Well, we're a coaching organization.
Yes.
So, therefore, one of the very first things we do, of course, is establish goals. And those goals could be from a business orientation of a prospecting issue or personal marketing issue or team building issue to more personal issues that may happen along the way that we have to address as their business grows. So goals are so critical to any equation, but where I see most people fail is they'll set goals that, great to set a goal in 10 years, but let's set the goal for 10 weeks. Let's build winning streaks. And that's the term I like to use. Let's build winning streaks before we move forward with the next big thing. So for example, if someone says, you know, Rod, I'm so pumped. I'm gonna make 200 calls a week. Let's make 20.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go from this, you know, start with 20.
It's baby steps. It's a maturation process.
Right.
Yeah, you know, there's no question about it. So one of the things I said in the opening was a line about stop the drift. So what does that mean?
Stop the drift. Well, there's no doubt drifting. There are folks that drift through their careers. There are folks that hit a plateau. And we see that a lot with mid-career commercial real estate professionals. Regardless, they hit a plateau and they're stuck. In fact, we have avatars in our company after being ideal clients. And one of our avatars we call Peter Plateau. And they're in that drift. They just are. So what you have to do is to share with them best practices and show them exactly what can happen when we make changes. You do that through success stories, absolutely. But also, we hold hands. We're about implementation, not presentation. So we'll hold hands with our clients to show them how each, as you said earlier, take the small step. Let's see the drift stop. See where we're going from there.
Yeah, it's not a perfect analogy, but I'm a very big believer in hitting singles and doubles, because eventually the power will come, you know, especially if you have the talent. So the legendary football coach, Vince Lombardi, he never had a losing season, and actually he took a 1-win-10-loss team that he inherited as a first-year coach, and that very year, you know, it became a winning team, but over the next 9 years, they won 5 NFL championships. But he once said, if you aren't fired up with enthusiasm, you will be fired with enthusiasm. So how big a part does enthusiasm play just in business?
Well, in business, it's significant. Look, you have to attack every day saying this is the day. And I know I, and you're going to have to correct me here, Larry. I remember the movie All That Jazz, the story of, was it
Bob Fosse?
Bob Fosse. He would wake up every morning. Now, granted, he would be doing other things in the morning, but
yes.
He'd wake up every morning.
He enjoyed life.
Yes. And he'd look at the mirror and say, showtime. I mean, that's what he would do. And I have to admit, every day I wake up, I look in the mirror and say, you have to get hired. You have to get hired. That's how I feel every day. So
you're coaching yourself.
I'm coaching myself, but here's the difference. I have to get hired. I have enthusiasm. Our clients have enthusiasm. That's great. But that can only take you so much. You got to put it's the action that matters.
So one more thing relating to Vince, just on a more relaxing note. When he wasn't coaching, believe it or not, his way of relaxing was he enjoyed cleaning out closets. He would love my wife, okay? And reading cookbooks. He would love my wife as well. So when it's time for you to go off the grid, you know, how do you relax?
my team would tell you I don't relax. My wife would tell you I don't relax. But when I do relax, it's simple. I'm on my bike, on the road running, I'm in the pool, but I'm always, on those three, I'm always listening to an audio book that's always business oriented and generally around goal setting and motivation. It just is. But the ultimate, and the ultimate relaxation for me personally has been and always will be that I'm on a lacrosse field with some friends and teammates, smelling the grass, getting hit by someone much bigger than me, and charging my way towards a goal.
Really?
That is my ultimate relaxation. I still play in the Masters tournaments across the country. This year, I was eligible for the 55-plus league, so now I'm the young guy.
Wow.
So, to me, that is my ultimate relaxation.
And people don't know this. It's the greatest sport in America.
It is the greatest sport in America.
Yeah, the first time, because it's a combination of everything. You know, and the first time my kids started playing it, I was like, oh, my God, I feel like I discovered America. You know, it was unbelievable.
It is.
Yeah. So John Madden, the Super Bowl winning coach with the Raiders, best known to most people for either Madden football or, you know, his great 1980s light beer commercials, said the road to Easy Street goes through the sewer. And in the classic song by the Grateful Dead, namely Uncle John's Band, you know, Garcia sang, when life looks like Easy Street, there is danger at the door. So what's your take on what John and Jerry were trying to convey?
Oh, they're absolutely correct. They're absolutely correct. Nothing's as good as it seems. When we survey the commercial real estate population on a national basis and we ask them, why did you get into commercial real estate? Larry, what is the number one answer?
Money.
Money. That's what it is. It's purely money driven. It's money. I see the potential to make so much money.
That's not why I got in.
No,
by
not
the way.
You. Not you. But that's.
I got in for this very moment, by the way. So I'm done. I peaked.
Well, now it's our 10-year anniversary at the Mossman Group. I can tell you that this is the peak. This is the highlight for me right now. But that's good, I guess, at some point, for money. But what does money create for you? What does it provide for you? How are you going to leverage the money? How are you going to create the wealth? And then we find out why are most brokers average? Well, they lost sight that it's just not the money that matters. It gets back to that original point, great attitude. What activities are behind it?
Yeah, listen, you have to have passion. You want to make a difference. You want to build something. You want to leave your mark, okay?
Yes.
And the bottom line is, if you have the passion for that and you do it with a smile to boot, you know, on occasion at least, you know, it's like then you're going to make the money.
You are going to make the money. If you love it, you will make the money.
Yeah, I have many theories, and one of them is the Jerry Maguire Notorious B.I.G. Conundrum Theory. So if you remember the movie Jerry Maguire, Cuba Redding Jr. had the line, show me the money.
Yes.
Notorious B.I.G., the great rapper, said, "More money, more problems." Okay, so which is kind of, like, you know, it's like, and the bottom line is you want to be shown the money. Listen, some problems that you're going to have to encounter along the way. There's many things that could be taken from that theory, but that's one of them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You're right. More money, more problems. You had to have a specific structure and mindset, what that money is going to provide you and what you're going to do with that money, how you're going to reinvest that money. We do see that. People do a big deal. And what's the first thing they do after a big deal? We think it
car.
Is get something big. Well, we could have saved that money.
Yeah.
We could have invested that money, but nope, I'm going to buy something big that I don't need. But that's what happens.
It's funny that when I was on the ownership side, you know, one of our big deals, instead of buying that big car, okay, meaning the big price tag,
mm-hmm.
I bought a big car, but I bought a 1975 Eldo convertible with 20,000 miles, and it cost $14,000, and I still have it, and it's, you know, so I didn't do that, but it was like, believe me, I would have liked to, but I'm like, nah, I'm going to be mature.
One of the best books I've ever, and I've read quite a few books, it was probably The Millionaire Next Door, and I was a disciple of that approach towards life, and it always is, in fact, I just bought a car 2 months ago, I'll tell you, and it was a pre-owned car. And I'll always buy a pre-owned car. It's just, that's the value.
Yep, that was no question about it.
This podcast is powered by Leasing Reality, a commercial lease training and negotiating search engine designed to exponentially accelerate the learning curve of aspiring, emerging, and seasoned real estate professionals. By allowing its users to choose how, when, and in what dosage they prefer to be educated, Leasing Reality provides a detailed yet easy to navigate inside perspective into the business aspects of a commercial lease. Feel free to conduct your own private leasing intervention at leasingreality.com. Please know that it would be greatly appreciated if you could kindly download, subscribe, rate, and review Real Estate Reality Check on iTunes by way of the episode page, podcast page, or rerealitycheck.com. As a small token of our heartfelt thanks for doing so, we'll be conducting weekly raffles to win free subscriptions to Leasing Reality.
So John Belushi, classic motivational speech. I don't know, you know, if you had Massimo Group then, he would have been a good coach. Not.
One of the coaches I play for is Faber College.
Oh, really?
It
oh,
is.
I love that. Okay, there you go. So in that classic motivational speech to his frat brothers in the movie Animal House, he said, "It ain't over now, cuz when the going gets tough, the tough gets going." You know, getting back to Madden, he had a different way of conveying Belushi's thoughts when he said, "When the going gets tough, you don't quit and you don't fold up and you don't go in the other direction." So with those inspirational thoughts behind us, how can adversity be a motivational tool? And how do you advise your clients how to deal with it?
Yeah, we are consistently reflecting, and that's the word, reflect. It's time to reflect. And we actually take pauses during our curriculum to reflect on everything. Quarterly reflections, deal reflections, why did I win a deal? Why did I lose a deal? Let's not move forward. Let's reflect on exactly what's going on, what worked, what didn't. So you have to pause. And I'm still waiting for the Germans to bomb Pearl Harbor. Lot to see about that.
Yeah, exactly. So going back to John Wooden, arguably the greatest, you know, teaching coach ever, he led UCLA to 10 NCAA championships in 12 years, 7 in a row. But among his many mantras was, "Failure is not fatal, but failure to change might be." David Bowie sang "Turn and Face the Strange" in his classic song, Ch-ch-changes.
Ch-ch-changes.
So two-part question for you. You know, how have the Massimo Group's coaching techniques changed over the past 5 years or so as the world keeps changing? And at the same time, how do you personally adapt to change?
Sure. Well, first of all, you finally got to my favorite coach of all time. So thank you very much, John Wooden. And it was John Wooden who said, in regards to the role of a coach, is to make you do the things you don't want to do to get the things you want to get.
And I like that.
And that's what the role of a coach is, from an athletic coach to a business coach. We're going to make you do the things you really don't want to do because you have a vision what you want to get. So from my end, you had a twofold question. First, we look at the Massimo Group and our programs every year. In fact, last week we just decided to drop one of our programs because I think it was impactful enough. We did a major shift on all our programs last year in regards to segments are going after, avatars, and what we see working in the market and what we don't. Well, our curriculum comes from our clients in many ways as it comes from me and my coaches. We see what's working and what's not, and we have to adapt. We have to integrate more technology, obviously, today than we did when I first started out 10 years ago. We have to get ready and prepare our clients for, I know it's probably a taboo word, but for the next downturn, because it's headed our way.
No.
Yes, yes. This 10-year run has been fantastic. But clients, and you can appreciate this, most commercial realty professionals don't know what a downturn is. So you have to adjust, prepare, and prepare for that. As far as my change, to me, change is always good. I love change. It's, you know, when problems come up, obstacles are addressed, challenges are addressed. There was a time, I will admit, I'm an Italian Puerto Rican kid. I'm very emotional, that I would go right fast to an emotion. But now I've learned change is good, and we'll figure it out, and we'll always figure it out. So I've kind of come down a little bit.
A little.
A little.
Don't lose that childish, you know, charm. So you mentioned a few words as we've been talking. One of them was leverage, and one of them was technology. So I want to go old school, new school. And that is, there are certain people who just rely on new school. Too much emailing, too much texting, not enough picking up the phone and let's talk this through to get it done. The other side of the coin is technology is beautiful. I love social media. I love all the technology out there. I love all the knowledge that's out there. How do you teach your clients to find the balance?
Well, there is a balance. There's no doubt. We call it prospecting and presence. And if you're a company, it's sales and marketing. Putting out a tweet is presence. It's marketing. Doesn't mean people are going to call you. It's not how it works. You have to ask for the business. You have to ask for business. People are challenged to do that. As far as the old school, new school, I just was listening to a book yesterday, Sales EQ by Jeb Blount, who also wrote Fanatical Prospecting. Two fantastic books, by the way. And he said right in there, they did a study of ultra performers. And what separate the ultra performer from the average performer, and it didn't matter what industry they were in or where they were as far as years, it was ultra performers picked up the phone consistently more than average performers, because average performers relied on email correspondence and soft ways to try to get in front. They didn't pick up the phone and create a conversation and a relationship.
Yeah, and it's finding the balance. What the hell is the name of the song? Oh, Diana Ross, reach out and touch. You got to reach out and touch, meaning the dial on the phone. Okay, the dial, the buttons, excuse me.
Well, Larry, okay. I'll say a little prayer for you.
Yeah, ooh,
ooh,
I like that.
Touché.
Touché. So we're going to go back to Wooden again. So Coach liked to say, you can't live a perfect day without doing something for someone who will never be able to repay you. So I take John's line as many things, including that of paying it forward and helping those not as fortunate as yourself. So why is it important for you and our listeners to heed the words of John Wooden?
Well, John Wooden, beyond being a fantastic athletic coach, he was a teacher. That's
yes,
what John Wooden
exactly.
was. And if you have the opportunity to listen to any of the tapes about him and his interviews, I highly recommend it. He was also high in virtue, and that was who he was. So today, the real question is, do you personally, you, Larry, or anyone else listening, do you live in a world of scarcity or abundance? Which one do you think you live in? Because that's going to craft how you act. And do I have competitors? Absolutely. In fact, I'll share with you, I just had lunch before this with a direct competitor, and I share with him what's working for us. It's an abundant environment. It doesn't matter. I want to
there's
continue.
Enough, there's enough to go around. And you got to give. Give a little.
You have to always give. You must always give.
I'm blanking on the name of the guy who's known as the Warren Buffett of the East. And one of his lines is, you always have to leave enough on the table for your partners.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, the guy who you had lunch with, although you're not financial partners, the bottom line is you're sharing knowledge.
Sharing knowledge is what it comes down to.
There's enough to go around. So, playing off the title of the songs by the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Eric Clapton, although knowledge brings to the one possessing it the power of equality, that's the Red Hot Chili Peppers, by the way, I'm also a believer in it's the way that you use it that truly matters. So, with that said, how do you go about acquiring all that you know, and how do you disperse it? Because remember, you're dispersing obviously to your clients, but you're also dispersing it to your staff. I know one of your answers has to be all the books that you listen to and read.
Yeah, okay, it's no doubt.
Yeah.
The books, I do seminars. I run a coaching organization, and in the industry, it's become the biggest organization. In fact, the only organization in the industry versus a one-man shop. I have three coaches. I mean, not my company. I personally have three coaches coaching me. And that's because I believe I need to get coached. I need to get better. And when I take away from them, then I disperse to our clients or our team members. So I get coached. I read. I watch a lot of stuff online. I'm a continual learner. I know because, look, I was not the best
you're
student.
You're just a boy from Long Island.
I'm just a boy,
you know?
From Long Island. That's what I am. Yeah. I'm a lacrosse player from Long Island. So,
what high school did you go to?
I went to Ward Melville.
Oh, really?
The premier lacrosse school in Long Island, by the way.
No, I thought Syosset High School is. Yeah. You know,
that's
okay.
A close second.
Yeah, that's where my kids went. But in Suffolk County, it is.
There you go.
Better than West Islip. No offense to anyone from West Islip.
No. Know, but, yeah. Patriot all the way.
You know, but the bottom line is, it's such a tough thing because it's, you know, you might know a lot, but you always have to be careful about what you say, mm-hmm. you know, and how you use it, because sometimes too much knowledge is, or better put, too much information to give to your clients is not a good thing either.
No, and I think you said it's how you share information. I'm not teaching you. I'm not telling you. I'm not putting you in an inferior position. We're just sharing with you what we understand that works and. Let's apply it. Now, for our coaching clients, yeah, we're pretty much making sure they do what we ask. You know, that's how we work.
Exactly. So when it comes to this perception out there of, you know, retail Armageddon and then rising interest rates, declining investment sales, and all the tumult that's come from the recently enacted, you know, Tax Cut and Jobs Act, you know, are you more along the lines of the Bruce Springsteen song that there's a darkness on the edge of town, you know? And if not, why not?
I'm more of a born to run guy myself, but there is a darkness. I mean, there is an edge to what's going on in the market right now. You can see it. I mean, generally from the marketplace, we see it nationally in New York first, and then we see it in other markets. And obviously the velocity in New York has slowed down. It just has. So, yes, is there darkness happening? Absolutely. I know I'm going to get off flack for this. I don't remember the character's name, but I do remember the saying. It was a Harry Potter, one of the deans in Harry Potter, the old man with the long hair. I should know that, I know. He talked about light at the end of the tunnel. And frankly, all you got to do is turn on the light switch. And I believe that. Things are going to be dark, but you have control to create the light. So create the light.
Yeah, and bottom line, seize the opportunity. Because there's always opportunity.
Always is.
The people who were brilliant in 2009 and 2010 who sat on the sidelines waiting to pounce, they were patient, they did their due diligence. Due diligence is the mother of good luck, Ben Franklin. And it's like, and they pounced because they, you know, the bottom line is that they seized the moment given the opportunity, mm-hmm. you know, and that comes about by being on top of your game, okay, knowing what you're doing, working your butt off, you know. There's no question about it. The song Ripple by the Grateful Dead, great song, one of my favorites by them. And there's lyrics in the song that goes, there is a road, no simple highway. And taking it a step further, once again, going back to Eric Clapton and Talking Heads as well, do you have any keys to the highway as to how teenagers and recent college graduates should approach their job search so they don't end up, you know, on a road to nowhere?
Yeah, I think it's really important. And by the way, Talking Heads, without a doubt, favorite song ever, Pull Me Up by the Talking Heads.
Oh, I love that song. Mommy, Daddy, come and look at me now.
That's it.
Absolutely.
Daddy, come and look at me now.
I actually saw David Byrne we saw him earlier in the year up in Buffalo. We were on a road tour. And I just saw him in the Brooklyn Theater, King's Theater.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. He was incredible. So good.
Mommy, yeah. Daddy. Yeah. Anyway, look, and this is actually, I think it's best said by the highest velocity podcaster today and general marketer, Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary V, I don't know if this is Gary V. He has a lot of philosophies, but he has one, though, I completely agree with for the young folks looking for new jobs. It doesn't matter what that first job is because you have to recognize it's just the one and very small first step to a career. And no matter what you're doing, you said earlier, if you're flipping burgers or you're a runner for a marketing firm, whatever you're doing, the key is, regardless of where you end up, get to know as many people as you humanly can. Yeah, bust your butt, do a good job, show them that you're worthy, but That's the key to the second step. That's the key to the third step. And I know Gary Vaynerchuk says that now, but I look back at my career, you know, when I got my first job, it was because I was a gopher at in a building down in Miami, and the broker later on decided to hire me, and me help him run his firm. And then later on, it was because somebody remembered a Duke who said, you know what, Rod, I'm starting a firm. Do you want to come help me run this firm? So my whole career was based on who I knew. And more importantly than this, who knew me? So if you're listening to this and you're a teenager, you're getting out of college, don't sit in the corner. Get to know everyone. It's not your final job. It will never be. Get to know everybody.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Listen, the bottom line is like all the things that you were saying, and because listen, you are carnivorous about accumulating knowledge, okay? And you realize that every day I still need to learn. It's just, it makes you complete, so to speak. So doing that, and along the whole, I don't want to say networking line, everyone's in the same boat. You know, people want to meet people. People want to do business with people who they like, who they respect. And I'm going to quote Yeats. Yeah, you know, not that I'm a big poetry guy, okay? But Yeats said, you know, strangers aren't strangers. They're just friends who haven't yet met. And if you have that attitude
like that
when you're networking, yeah, I'm very deep on occasion. But, you know, I read that this morning. No. But, you know, it's just, I find that being very helpful. You're all there when you're sitting at, you know, at the pool. Rod and I, you know, knew each other tangentially. We met at ICSC in Vegas. Yep. There's a great, you know, the greatest working boondoggle in America, by the way, you know, the weekend preceding Memorial Day weekend. But it's great. It's unbelievable, great for business, but it's a social event, you know, and you have to be a professional when you're there because it's tough. Some people don't handle their alcohol as well as they should, okay? But the bottom line is that, you know, you're all in the same boat. You want to talk, you want to have a good time, you want to meet people, and that's how ultimately relationships get started.
So it's all
and
about...
That was probably 5 years ago. So Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise, if you remember, they were in A Few Good Men together, and Tom Cruise was interrogating Jack on the witness stand, and Jack was not, you know, particularly pleased with Tom's line of questioning, and, you know, he starts yelling at Tom Cruise, "The truth? You can't handle the truth." Great scene. I loved it. So with that image, you know, in our mind, when it comes to one's career and how you conduct yourself professionally, what is your truth?
I'll tell you my truth, and I'll have to explain it to make sure it's not misinterpreted. My truth is that no one is better than me, and I am better than no one. And what I mean by that is there's no reason I can't call the chairman of some large company. I can't go out and do something. I can't, you know, people don't know. I'm an inventor and a patented sports watch. And I knew nothing about watches, but it's something I wanted to do. And nothing held me back. So when I mean that no one's better than me, I don't want myself to hold myself back. I don't really look at myself. It was me that did that, right? What I mean by I'm better than no one is purely and simple. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do, socioeconomic, nothing matters. I'm not better than you. I'm just not. And if I ever pretend to be or act to be, shame on me. Just shame on me. So that's what I really live by.
Really? Those are great words, my friend. So I'm going to go back to the Grateful Dead. I didn't realize I knew I had a lot of coaching questions. I didn't realize I had so many Grateful Dead type of lead-ins. But anyway, my favorite song by them is arguably Scarlet Begonias. And there's a line in it that states, "Once in a while you get shown the light in the strangest of places if you look at it right." You know, so what insights or life lessons have you learned along the way from an unlikely source or when you least expect it?
Yeah, that's a great one. You know, I would think it was in 2008. I had a
fun time.
I had a corporate job with a national real estate firm, and I was an executive, and they decided to downsize, and to my utter shock, I didn't have a job. And so here I am, 2008, two little kids, no job. And if we can recall, there were no jobs to be found in 2008.
And nine, and
some of 10. So that's when I said, you know, I don't want to say it's spiritual, but the fact is I woke up one day and I told my wife, and I looked at her and I said, "Look, I'm starting a coaching company." And she said, "Okay, let's see what we can do." And so I look back, the day I got laid off was without a doubt the best day ever professionally in my life. That was it. That made me change.
And you took adversity. You learned how to dance in the rain, okay, which is unbelievable. Long before country music star Tim McGraw was born, his father, Tug, was the closer for the then amazing Mets back in 1973. And they were a 500 team, basically. And his mantra of, you gotta believe, basically inspired the city, inspired the Mets. And they actually went on to the World Series. They didn't win it, but it was unbelievable by this battle cry. So being the deal closer that you are, yeah, please shut the door on our podcast, my friend, and inspire our listeners as to why they got to believe in all that is good about life, business, and their careers for that matter.
Certainly. But of course, we have to talk about the Mets first. And Bud Harrelson is my Mr. Met. He always was when I was growing up. And to this day, I will tell you that he did beat up Pete Rose.
Oh, that was great. I went to see a concert that night, my first concert, Sly and the Family Stone at Nassau Coliseum.
So some of our listeners are going to have to Google that.
I remember things
that
nobody should ever remember.
But I would say to the listeners that this is, I can share it with you through my experience. I can share it with you through our clients' experience. I can share it with you just through all the reading and the listening that I do, is that regardless of where you are in your life, in your career, if you're 18, if you're 81, it doesn't matter. You have the choice to completely transform your results today. You do. You can decide today, well, let's take commercial real estate folks, since that's, well, most of the folks I deal with. Any commercial real estate professional, capital markets, mortgage bankers, whatever they are, brokers, agents, leasing, sales, tenant rep, they can decide today, you know what? My kids do depend on me. My wife depends on me. My future depends on what I do today, how many calls I make, how I don't give up. Putting a different process into place, putting different practices in place, just thinking about trying new things. And that's it. The ability to transform, the transformation that's possible for anyone is real. I'm living proof. You know, unemployed, lost 10 years ago, and now just by the grace of God and good luck, and yes, hard worked my ass off situations. Now we're a team of 32. We've coached 2,500 plus people, 25,000 hours, something like that, of coaching. I don't know what the last number was, but transformation is possible. But you have to make the election that this is something I want to do. And it doesn't matter. And here's the key, here's where I'll end it. I don't care if it's a book, like I love, if it's a training program, or yeah, if it's a coach. The greatest asset you have, that you have, and the greatest return you'll ever have is yourself. So invest in yourself and watch yourself grow.
Great words, my friend. Thank you so much for coming on. Truly appreciate
always it. Always a pleasure, Larry. Thank you.
Please know that it would be greatly appreciated if you could kindly download, subscribe, rate, and review Real Estate Reality Check on iTunes by way of the episode page, podcast page, or rerealitycheck.com. As a small token of our heartfelt thanks for doing so, we'll be conducting weekly raffles to win free subscriptions to Leasing Reality. The content of this podcast is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to solicit business or to provide legal advice. Our listeners should not take or refrain from taking any legal action based upon the information contained in this podcast without first seeking professional counsel. Prior results do not guarantee future success. Are you on the search for a dynamic legal representation for you and/or your business? Abrams Garfinkel Margolis Bergson LLP's full-service law firm is dedicated to smart, practical, and cost-effective counsel, providing the highest level of legal services to its clients. The AGMB team primarily represents clients in residential and commercial real estate transactions, banking, brokerage, and mortgage compliance, as well as entertainment industry services. AGMB has offices located in New York, Long Island, and California. Learn more and visit agmblaw.com today.